If you are an adult woman who has recently moved to a new city, or maybe has recently found yourself in a new season of life, or you're just looking for a change to build up your relationships and the community around you, this episode is for you. We have Allie Jung on the show, and she is really digging into exactly what we need to be doing in our adult world to be leveling up and building a community around us with supported and like-minded women. Allie is a passion-driven leader that values community connection and purposeful experiences. She's the founder of Level Up Ladies, also known as LUL, and it's a female social collective based in Chicago with its newest chapter in San Diego. She brings like-minded women together to create meaningful and authentic connections while investing in themselves and in their circle. She really blows me away because she is the definition of do both. She has a full-time job, a degree in biomedical engineering. She graduated from the University of Illinois. She's a wife, but she's making time for what matters to her, which is connecting women. This is clearly a natural talent that she has, and I feel like I connect with her so much and jokingly call her my twin sister online because I swear we were separate at birth. She's cut from the same cloth, and she's truly wanting to uplift and empower women. She does this so intentionally, and I'm continuously blown away by her. I had to bring her on the show. Allie does this so naturally, and as we both navigate our 30s, I thought she was the perfect person to bring on to talk about how we're leveling up, but also how she's making friends and she's building community and her biggest tips for you guys. If this is something you've been struggling with, this is your episode. Let's dive in. You're listening to Misunderstood Podcast, where we are setting the record straight on all things misunderstood. I'm your host, Kelly Hall Sabraki, pageant runner-up, model, speaker, wife, and U.S. Navy lieutenant. I may have never won a Miss USA title, but I am the queen of being misunderstood. Welcome to the show, guys. What's up, world? This is your host, Kelly Hall Sabraki, and I am so excited about our episode today because we have, I'm fangirling, Allie Jung. She's my Insta friend, but I swear my twin separated at birth. Such a powerhouse, a connector, an entrepreneur, full of woman empowerment, and such a community builder. Allie, thank you so much for being here.
Wow, that might have been like the best, most complimentary intro I've ever heard. So I appreciate you. And I'm like, okay, this is setting the tone. I love it. I love it.
I told you, I'm a fan. I am a fan. It's so funny because I think we've only met in person one time, but it doesn't feel that way. I went to one of your events.
Yeah, and also on the street running into like on Wells in Old Town.
That's right. We did just randomly physically run into each other on the street. That was weird. Yeah.
That was maybe meant to be.
Small. It's Chicago actually kind of is a small world. It's like a small city in a big city. But truly, like I think I found you over social media. We got kind of connected over social media and heard great things from you from mutual friends. And the funny thing is, anytime I meet other powerhouse women, I get randomly connected through word of mouth because they're like, oh, do you know Allie? Allie's so much like you. And I'm like, who is this Allie? And then I have to go find you. And I, through the year that we've kind of been social media friends, I just continue to love to see how much, first of all, you work full time. You created LUL, Level Up Ladies, the community you're creating in Chicago, and your events are so aligned with like what I believe in. So let's just dive right into it. First of all, tell us how LUL came to fruition.
Yeah. I mean, I think I have always just kind of known that I have the innate skill and like talent of connecting people, right? Mm-hmm. Even as like a little girl, I feel like I was always bringing friends together, introducing people to each other. And I just knew that this was something that I really had to hone in on and figure out, okay, how can I do this and be purposeful with this talent? And how can I make an impact on people's lives? And specifically females. As an engineer, I've always kind of been surrounded in a very male-dominated industry. I got my degree in biomedical engineering. I've always been in STEM. even in my current professional industry, it's very male dominated. And so I thought, what better way to use my innate talent, my passion, to bring together like-minded women to create a safe space and environment for them to create authentic connections and also cheer each other on and support each other? Because I felt like I lacked that kind of going to school, growing up, even in my professional career, a very highly competitive situation. But I really felt like there was this lack of community and I wanted to seek that community somewhere else. And actually, the idea originated as I was reading this book. If you have not read this book yet, everybody go and grab it. And she actually just launched her second book, but Rachel Rogers, We Should All Be Millionaires. And I just remember reading this book. And I think the chapter was your squad or your million-dollar squad. And she wrote a section about asking, who are you surrounding yourself with?
Yeah.
Who do you look up to? Who is adding value to your life? And if you're not in that ideal community that you're envisioning while you're reading this, then create it, right? If you don't have that community to lean in on, if you don't have those powerhouse women around you that you want to aspire to, create your own community. Go out and take action. And I am not kidding. I read that line. I literally, something came over me. I know when people say like I had an epiphany, I'm kind of like, what? Really? I legit had an epiphany. And I kind of blacked out. And I remember I took out my journal and I literally wrote down the pen, Level Up Ladies. I don't know where it came from. It came from somewhere.
I love that.
I still have this journal to this day.
Aww.
And I wrote a couple quick notes of kind of what I wanted it to be, what I thought I wanted to do with it. But it was literally reading that book that then originated the idea of Level Up Ladies. So that was actually in early 2022. I didn't end up launching the community until 2023, but it was from a chapter in that book.
Wow, that is so insane. I have so much to dig into. One, I love that you start with like the book you were reading, because I kid you not, I'm the worst at this. Like, I'm terrible at putting myself in front of a book, but I'll listen to podcasts and it is a source of fuel. I will literally be like, oh my gosh, it's a great podcast topic. Oh my gosh, that's a great motivational speaking topic. Oh my gosh, like, that is something I'm going to bring into work today. I'm literally going to tell one of my sailors this quote from this motivational speaking podcast. So like, find the sources of where you're getting this inspiration from. So if your listeners are not doing that, like, start digging into those professional development, personal development things. But then this is clearly something that's been sitting on your heart for a very long time and just was the push, you know, to get started. I love that you just dug into it. You're like, I have this talent.
To be honest, I don't know if LUL would have ever come to life if I had not been reading that book in that exact moment. I truly think everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
And I think that book was brought to me for a purpose. And actually, it was another recommendation from another female powerhouse again, right? So like, word of mouth. And that's what I love to do, is share resources, share the networking. And that's exactly what we do in LUL. We even have like a book club, right? We have books and podcast recommendations, because we do also love listening to the podcast, daily motivational podcasts, exactly what you're doing here, right? Giving people the platform to share their stories to hopefully inspire and empower others to kind of take on their own journeys. And so this is something that I have included for years, right, into my daily routine, is reading minimum 10 pages a day of a personal development book. So that is something that truly has kind of transformed my morning routine and kind of how you start your day. And if there is a day I somehow do not incorporate that, oh, my day is completely off and I'm a different person, you know? Like, I am like, wow, this truly does make a difference. So I think years of having that into routine also allowed me to kind of be open to receiving that kind of message that, okay, this is the time for me to take this on myself.
I think that's so amazing. And you did this right after your wedding, right? You got married in 2022 too, yeah. I remember seeing that and I was like, because that was my wedding year too. I was like, man, she just like dove right in afterward. I think that's so awesome. And I am so excited to pick your brain a little bit more, because my audience knows I've always been an event girl forever, and maybe not formal events, but I love bringing people together. Just like, that's why we're so similar. I'm like, I've always been a connector at recess when I was a kid, all the way up to being an adult. And you might not know this, but whenever I was living in Ohio, didn't have any friends, I got on Bumble BFF and I started just like swipe. It was like pretty new to have Bumble BFF, not the dating portion, the friend portion. So I just started swiping like the day I moved there. And I had like 15 matches
And I was like, well, I don't have literally enough time to go meet all 15 girls for coffee. So I invited them all to the same dinner.
I love it.
8 women show up to this reservation at this Italian spot. And all 8 of them clearly were seeking out community and friendship because they were on the app too. So I started doing that monthly, every month in Ohio. And as you know, I started making this little network. So long story short, Bumble BFF opened up a position. They were like, we're looking for event coordinators in every state. So one of my friends like forwarded, they were like, you're basically already doing this. And I remember sitting at the airport, filling out this questionnaire, being like, oh my gosh, my little menial, like 2,000 followers, like I'm not gonna like get selected for this. But I was like, hey, this is what I do. I bring all my matches together every month and we do a brunch or we do this. And they hired me. So for a year and a half, I was doing events for Bumble twice a month, doing similar to kind of, not similar because you're building an entire community, but I had such a passion for it. And so ever since, but it was a job. You know, I was doing the top of the Navy and it was really, really stressful. And moving also makes it really hard, right? Like restarting that community. So I love how you've crafted such a unique way for women in Chicago and San Diego to build this community. You have multiple events a month. You also have very casual events a month. You know, you're not always doing bottomless mimosa brunch. Like you do sober events, workout events. Like it's very intentional. How did you kind of craft your plan for the business? And how did you really even get started?
Yeah, that's a great question. I got started by first launching a challenge, right? I actually had been leading similar challenges the previous 3 to 5 years, but doing it all for free, just all because I loved the challenge and bringing them together and seeing us like crush goals, seeing people have huge differences in mental, physical, spiritual health. And I'll never forget, it was after my wedding and it was around the holidays and I was kind of in the wedding blues. I'm sure you kind of experienced that too. And I was just not motivated, even for the new year to start in 2023. I was like, ugh, you know, what's there to look forward to in 2023? All the wedding stuff is over. And I had a couple girls reach out to me and be like, Allie, are you leading the challenge again in January? Please tell me you're leading the challenge. Like, can we get this started? And I was like, you know what? This is a sign. Like, I need to launch a challenge and I'm going to launch it under the umbrella of Level Up Ladies. I don't know what that all is going to entail, but I just need to rip off the Band-Aid and do it. So if you are out there with an idea and you don't know the full business plan and you don't have the platform yet, just go and make a move, okay? Because it will all come together. You don't need to have everything set out. It doesn't need to be perfect, right? And I just decided, okay, I'm going to launch this challenge and say this is a Level Up challenge. And it's under Level Up Ladies, which is a new female social collective in the city, and kind of go from there. So I knew I definitely wanted to obviously do the challenge, but also involve an in-person interaction, right? I think that's the power of a community, is actually the in-person kind of meeting of women and the ability to kind of really have deep, intentional conversations. We do have a full virtual platform as well. So it does allow for leveraging of time for a lot of women, but I will say the power is in the in-person, right? So I just decided that we're going to do events that I would want to go to, right? Like if I am going to build this community and I'm going to be at these events, I want these events to be things that I would do. And I also started my sobriety journey in 2023 as well. So I definitely wanted to align my events with events that did not revolve around alcohol, that wasn't the focus, that wasn't involved. And so that also kind of created and crafted the ideas behind the events, right? So we came up kind of with our signature events, which is a coffee walk every month, which is, of course, something that the girls love to do. Gets you outside, gets your body moving. And of course, we like to always check out different coffee shops around the city. We do a fitness class every month with a studio in the local area, collaborative event, just so we can kind of check out different workouts. We have girls who love Pilates, girls who love HIIT, girls who love strength training. So really diversifying the fitness offerings. And of course, all of the women in LUL are very like-minded in that they are passionate about health and wellness and fitness. So, and just like myself. And then one really fun event that I love too is our girls' night out. So typically when you think a girls' night out, some might assume, oh, it's to a bar, or, oh, it's involving alcohol, it's involving martinis. And let me tell you, I have no judgments on that end, okay? Even though I am sober, I do not judge that. I used to be someone that looked forward to those girls' night outs. But as my life was evolving, I decided I wanted a girls' night out to be more about the intentional conversations that we're having and the topics at hand. So our girls' night outs involve a picnic in the park or a sip and shop at a boutique or showcasing different boutiques, different stores, different businesses in the Chicagoland area. Also focusing on highlighting female-owned businesses, which I think is super important too.
Yeah, for sure.
And we always have intentional conversations at these events, right? So you get a chance to meet new people, network, learn more about someone. And typically we have some kind of expert at these events also hosting conversations. So we've had, you know, Head First Health focusing on mental health. We've had someone talk about feng shui in the home. And, you know, there's just all different types of topics that just to all different areas to help you learn something, take away something new while also getting to know the women in LUL as well. So
that's so cool.
Those are kind of our signature events. And we have two virtual events as well, focused around financial fitness, which I think is huge, especially for women. So that we have virtual every month. And we also have a Girls Night In, which is a fun little virtual event as well, bringing experts from all different fields. So
that's so creative.
Again, I just wanted to bring in things that I want to do, hear from people that I would want to hear from, and make it fun and exciting. And a lot of the women really find values in these events. And that's why our membership continues to grow month over month.
That's so amazing. That says a lot about one, your intentionality, you know, what the women want, because it's something that you would want. A lot of people forget that. I think to pivot, it's kind of like social media content. People are always like, oh, Kelly, like, how are you so good at it? How are you so good at it? I'm like, honestly, you're overthinking it. Like, I kind of think,
we'll say you are amazing. You are amazing because you know what?
You.
Like, you just know that you are who you are. Like, you can tell in your energy and your vibe that, like, you are genuine and that you're not hiding anything. Like, you are like, yep, this is me, take it or leave it. And, you know, it definitely correlates. And I think that's exactly kind of what I wanted to bring into the LUL community is like a piece of me in which that this is like, this is genuine, right? These are not superior or sorry, like superficial relationships. Like what I love about this community is, yes, I founded it and I, you know, we have like over 150 members now, but I love seeing the LULs now on social. I'll see a post like, oh, girls night out. Like they went to dinner, like five of them together, you know? And I'm like, wait, where's my invite? But also, no, I'm kidding. I'm totally happy like they're going on and doing their own things as well. And I think it's all about just like authenticity and being genuine to yourself and your brand.
I 100% agree. I think one of the cool things about being a connector is that I don't know about you, but I released any sort of like envy or jealousy and replaced that with pride whenever you see people out doing stuff without you. There's sometimes like, you know, when I would host monthly events for, you know, whenever I was in LA or in Ohio, some girls, they would vibe more than maybe they vibed with me or they got along. And I'm like, oh my gosh, yay. They ended up, some are bridesmaids in each other's wedding now. And I'm like, I don't even talk to these girls anymore, but I'm like, look at them go. Like, I'm so happy I was able to connect to you and, you know, bring you together. Because maybe you're not my best friend in life or my future bridesmaid, but you might be each other's. Like, you might be more aligned with each other. So don't take offense to it, you know, but I really do feel like, again, that's kind of how I've gotten to know you over the last year is because you were very authentic in your brand, in your community with LUL. And that says a lot. And one thing about events, which is I want to kind of transition into our main focus here, which is making friends as an adult. I think women don't realize how intentional they really need to be in these environments to make friends. You know, one thing that pivoted whenever I was working for Bumble. Initially, I had a lot of control. I had a lot of control about the event, the women I couldn't invite, who was there. And they were very powerful because women could have intimate conversations. But I could bring together people I knew would fit, almost like, you know, selecting a little puzzle piece at a time. And then what shifted is, and I'm curious if you've seen this at all, Bumble wanted influencers. And I actually got, I'll be frank, I don't know, Bumble anything. I got fired because I was under 10,000 followers. So it didn't even matter how big my community, I mean, hundreds of people in Ohio, I got fired because at the time I had like 3,000 followers. And they were like, oh, for this position, we really are looking for influencers with over 10,000 followers. I was like, but the proof is here. Look at all the friendships I've made and connected and like the community I built in Columbus. And so for now, one of my goals, my resolutions this year was to host a monthly event. And I wanted to shift from, it's not about quantity of people, it's about the quality of people. And it's not about just throwing a party. It's about pushing it to be intentional, having the conversation, driving the conversation. At my Women Empowerment Dinner, for example, Olivia, we love Olivia, she immediately kicked it off with an intention. We did a meditation. And I think women, they're sipping cocktails, sipping martinis, and are thinking like, oh, fun little girls event. And it was like, this is what you're here for. Set your intention. And it like reset everything in the room. So yeah, I was curious if you have kind of that experience with differentiating your brand because you're really bringing people together who want to grow. And how do you kind of create that audience?
I am so, so glad you asked that question because that was something that was top of mind when creating this community. Because here's the thing, I've seen those Facebook groups with thousands of people in them. I've seen those public, whatever platform groups where anybody and everybody can be in there, right? So when creating LUL, I knew who I wanted to attract. I know who I wanted to be a member. Even when writing the branding guide and going through that onboarding process of how I wanted to launch this company, I pretty much wrote out like the dream members of who I wanted to attract and bring into this group.
Oh, that's awesome.
And this is the exact reason why this is a paid private membership community. I knew right from the beginning it was not going to be a complimentary, free, everybody can join, anybody can join, because I did want to focus on women that were willing to invest in themselves, willing to invest in their circle, and willing to invest in their growth. And the way to do that through this community was through a paid membership. So it's $42.99 a month, right? And again, some people might say, oh, maybe it's not for me. But other people who are committed and understand the value are like, no, I'm in. And to be honest, it kind of weeds out the people that wouldn't show up to the events, or either would show up and be like, eh, I don't really care about the intentional part. I'm just here for whatever. So these women, they are paying a monthly membership and they are getting the value that they seek. So they can choose the events they go to. They can choose where they want to spend their time. But I think it kind of breaks down the barriers when we're at these events, that each woman at these events knows, like, you're also investing your time and money into this community. Like, I can trust you. I can be vulnerable with you because this is something that you are placing as a high importance and a priority, right? I mean, I always tell people, I'm like, you can be a member of this amazing community and have access to this amazing network and pay the $49.99 a month or get two cocktails at a dinner, right? If this is something that you're comparing and trying to figure out if it's worth the investment. So I think the fact that this is a paid membership allows for us to create that safe space and really is bringing the powerhouse women that I kind of really envisioned and dreamed of when creating the community.
Yeah, that's so, so smart. And I think that's such a good point for business owners who are listening or people who envision what that looks like for if they want to create something moving forward. People always struggle with price and they think, oh, if it's not free, it's wrong. Or like, am I being selfish? But they don't understand, again, it's about what you're attracting. So just for example, I started ticketing my events at an empowerment dinner. I have a Galentine's Day coming up. I'm going to do a workout event in March. The ticket is like nothing. It's like $5. Guess what? That is literally weeding people out. People won't pay $5 for a ticket. They want free. They want a free event. They want a free cycling class. They want a free dinner event. And I'm like, that says a lot about you.
Correct. Correct.
I'm not trying to be harsh here, but if you're not willing to invest $5 to reserve your spot, then I need someone who is serious about being a part of this group. And so I think that's so smart. And so $42.99 is literally nothing. Sorry, if you live in Chicago, that's walking out of your door and going to CVS for an afternoon. I know you've talked a lot about kind of like what inspired you, but you have the advantage of, you know, I came to you and I was like, hey, Ally, I want you on the podcast. I have done an episode in 2020 about making friends as an adult. And I used all my tips and tricks from moving around every 3 years, what that looked like. I always have this big network of women around me. But you have the advantage as the creator of LUL to meet these women who maybe are new to Chicago, maybe have been in Chicago for a long time. They're seeking community and they're seeking some sort of answer to these questions, which is how do I make friends? How do I build this network? So you're the best subject matter expert to bring on the show when I ask, how do you make friends as an adult? So I'm going to turn it over to you. Please teach us, how do we do this? Because not everyone, LUL is not in every state, right? So how do we seek that out? Not yet. Manifesting.
Yeah. And I think people think it's hard, right? People, that's always a thing. Like, it's so hard to make friends as adults. I don't know what to do, or I don't know where to find community. So I think before we kind of go into the how, we need to think of the why. And I think the first thing to keep in mind is, who do you actually want to be spending your time with, right? I am such a believer that you're the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. So who do you want to surround yourself with, and how is that aligning with your personal and professional goals? I think you really need to sit with yourself as an adult and figure out, okay, in my adult life, in this next chapter of life, as I'm doing a friend audit, who do I want to attract in my life? Who do I want to be able to call up and get a coffee with? Who do I want to be able to share my vulnerable experience with? So I think once you decide who that person is, then you can figure out, okay, how am I now going to attract that type of person in my life? And where can I find that type of person, right? Where can I seek out that type of person? So a couple tips and tricks. And again, this might make you feel uncomfortable, right? This might make you feel like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. It sounds scary. But nothing great comes out of staying in your comfort zone. So if you're looking for greatness, if you are truly genuinely looking to make friends, you do have to go out of your comfort zone. And so put yourself out there, okay? You need to be in that headspace of putting yourself out there in every space and environment you're in, whether that's the gym, whether that's the workplace, whether that's a coffee shop, right? I will never forget, I actually met a good friend of mine at a coffee shop. She was sitting next to me. I was by myself. I was hearing her conversation. I was like, this girl seems legit. She seems like she's amazing. I don't know what it is about her, but like, I have to be friends with her. So I figured out a way to start a conversation with her. And I was like, I am going to walk away with her Instagram handle. Because social media is so easy to connect now, you just need to make that one maybe uncomfortable step to have that conversation and be able to walk away with, oh my gosh, can I get your social media? Like, I'd love to follow you on social, right? So whether that's a compliment, whether that's, oh my God, I love those gold hoops. Like, please tell me where you got that. Whether that's they're drinking a matcha, you love matcha. Oh my gosh, I love matcha. Like, what do you think about this? Do you ever drink coffee? Whatever it is to kind of get that conversation going, be observant, see what they're wearing, see what they're drinking, maybe see how they're set up in, whether it's a coffee shop or whether it's a workout class, figure out a way that you can kind of start a conversation with them. It could be big or small. It could be a low barrier of entry, easy compliment. And if anybody is receiving a compliment, you're going to be like, oh my God, who is this girl? I love her, right? Like, if anybody was to be like, oh my God, I love your shirt. Oh my God, I love your shirt. You want that energy reciprocated. So figure out a way to start a conversation, and then don't be shy. Be like, you know what? I would love to follow you on social. Like, I know this might be a little awkward, but can we connect, right?
I am literally the Instagram handle queen. I started doing this years and years and years ago, literally like 6 years ago. I would ask for people's, like, I'd be out at a bar and I'd meet a really cool girl and I'd be like, oh, can I get your Instagram handle? And my friends thought it was the weirdest thing. They were like, Kelly, stop being strange. Get her phone number. But I was like, here's the psychology, and I know that I'm right. When I get their Instagram handle, I'm eventually going to see a photo of them again. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, Cassie, oh, she was a really sweet girl in the bathroom. I'm going to send her a DM. And because phone numbers get lost, they get lost in your phone. You'll text Allie, and then later you'll be like, who's Allie? You know, unless you put Allie bathroom, like, you won't remember. So I always say, get your Instagram handle. And then the next step to that is follow up, because that's obviously tough.
100%. And by getting their Instagram handle, you can kind of see what they're passionate about. You can see, okay, do they really align with what I'm looking for? The face to name thing is huge, right? And honestly, even me, if someone were to send me a DM, I feel like I'm much quicker to respond than if I got a random text from a number that I didn't know. And I'd be like, oh, I don't really know if this person's legit. But coming from the social media aspect of it, I feel like it has just gotten so normalized for people to be Instagram friends or social media friends before they meet in person. So
yeah.
I think do what you can to start a conversation, get that barrier down, and get their social. And aligned with that, it's get out of the house and do things that you're passionate about, right? Because you are going to find yourself in the room with other women that also enjoy exactly what you're doing, right? So again, whether that's going to the gym or, you know, a pottery class, or for me, being sober, going to like a non-alcoholic bottle bar and shop. Like my favorite one in Chicago is In Good Spirits. They have amazing, amazing community events as well. So find those little spots, find those little businesses that you align with and that you love. Check out their events. If they're hosting events, just go there, visit there, see who else is there, and put yourself in the room where you can make that connection with someone. So that's another thing. It's unfortunately, if you're staying at home, which I know I love my alone time at home, you may not be in the best position to create genuine, authentic connections, right? So go to places that you love and see what they have to offer, whether it's community events and just the people that are frequenting that place.
Yeah, I love that so much. I think especially when you first move, it's so easy to stay at home, but just saying yes, yes to invitations, yes to things you see on Eventbrite, yes to the girl in the bathroom, whatever, like just say that yes and challenge yourself and it gets you out of the house.
Yep. And I think obviously we have LUL here in Chicago and San Diego. So obviously that's a perfect way to make friends and create genuine, authentic connections. But maybe there's other women's groups in other cities or, you know, networking communities, or seek out those environments. And even if you can't find it, ask around, ask your friends, ask mutual connections. Like, oh my gosh, if you see somebody, if you have a friend or mutual connection that you see has a lot of friends or is at a lot of these events, ask them like, can I come next time as a guest? Like, can I check this out with you? Like, what is that all about? Or where are you meeting these people? Like, are these friends from home? Are these friends from college? Like, are these adult life friends? Ask, just ask. That doesn't hurt, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's also a huge, use your connections, use what you have to your advantage to leverage that and figure out a way to kind of build those additional mutual relationships.
That's incredible. I love that so much.
And I think one thing that we also have to think about is not only making friends as an adult, but really also assessing your friendships that you have as an adult that maybe not serving you, right? I think that is something that I've had to do throughout the years as well. And really figuring out, does this relationship charge my battery or does it drain it? That is something I've had to do a lot recently because I think me and you are very similar in that we have a lot going on. And so we have to be very protective of our time, right? We cannot spend a minute doing something that is taking away from our purpose and our goals and our social battery and our recharging that battery, right? So is this taking away from my battery or is it adding value to it? And are these people putting in as much effort as I'm putting in? I love to give. I give so much to my relationships, to my friendships. If I'm not getting that reciprocated, then I have to take a step back and be like, you know what? Maybe I take a step back and that's totally fine. Friendships as adults change, evolve, adapt. It's a season of life. Some come, some go. So I think really kind of doing a friend audit is super important as well to figure out where you are spending your time and where you're expending your energy.
I appreciate that so much because I 100% do that / have done that. And I think it's important to not feel guilty about it. If anything, like I've prayed on it and I say, like, thank you so much for this relationship. It served me so beautifully in the season of my life. You are my first friend here. You are the friend that I needed this for. You helped me through this time. But fast forward 5 years or 3 years or whatever it is, like I have other people in my circle now that fill my cup up. And so I've had a couple of people who are like, you're cutting me out or whatever. Out with the old, in with the new. And I'm like, it's not that. It's just like, I've evolved. My relationships, I look different. My life looks different. And I'm really just at peace with it. And so like you said, it's really protecting your time and your energy. Because if you're ever showing up to something, I started really paying attention probably like 2 years ago to like those midweek dinners, right? Wednesday nights, Tuesday nights, whatever. It's Taco Tuesdays. And there were times I was like, oh, I don't want to go to this. And then my husband, those sweet husbands, was just like, well, then why are you?
Why do guys like literally have the most like common sense? And they're like,
well, then why are you? I'm like,
and you're like, oh, yeah, wait.
I'm a girl. Like, I got a Taco Tuesday. And he was like, but then also another thing that changes, and I need to appreciate this, you get married. I'm like, wait a second. Every single time I'm going to one of these events with girlfriends that I'm not actually excited about, it's one evening I'm not spending with my husband, whom I really love. So why am I doing that? So it's kind of got cut in half. Like my social time literally got cut in half. Those intimate dinners, those girls' nights, whatever, I'm so particular about because I'm also balancing a relationship with my husband that in addition to all of our outside passions, right, that we're balancing. So I don't feel guilty about it anymore. Unfortunately,
I don't either. I am like totally fine saying no. And it took me a long time to get to that point, but I just proceed with confidence, even in my no's, right? So, and I think when you proceed with confidence, when saying no to an event, saying no to alcohol, saying no to whatever, it's just much more widely accepted by everybody in the situation. And I think if you're kind of like, oh, I don't know, like if you're like, no, I can't make it, or no, I'm not drinking, no, I don't drink, that the confidence in which you communicate those things will help in the long run. And I know it takes some time to build that confidence, but the more you do it and the more you align yourself with who you are and how that translates to what you're doing, you'll build that confidence and you'll get to the point where you are confident with saying no.
Notice you never said, I'm sorry, I don't drink. I'm sorry, I can't make it. You never said the words, I'm sorry. And that takes practice. I've said the same thing. I'll just be like, oh, I'm not available. And when I said, oh, like, I'm sorry, I'm like, I'm not sorry.
No, I'm definitely not.
I don't want that drink. Like, it's just, I'm like, you know, I'm confident that they don't push you around. So I think that that's incredible. You're so good at like protecting your time. And I think that's why you're able to do so much of what you're doing now.
It's a lot. And I know, again, we can definitely relate on this and a lot of other high achieving women, is that we only have 24 hours in a day, right? And everybody has the same amount of time in a day. So how do we get this done? And for me, it's super important to be protective of my time. And it's really important that I do that through time blocking, right? So setting up my day for success, knowing exactly what I'm doing hour by hour, if not 30 minutes by 30 minutes, if not 15 minutes by 15 minutes, right?
Yes.
Because we can only do so much in a single day, right? And if you kind of just start your day and kind of like, oh, I'm going to get this done, that's never going to happen. And so really focusing on the time blocking is super key. I'm sure you do something very similar, but having that routine and schedule is absolutely necessary in order to keep performing at this kind of high level.
Yes, it's actually a perfect segue because I did want to kind of end the episode with how you're able to balance both. There's, like I was saying, in season 5, there's a common theme of featuring women who are doing both, which I think is amazing. You're clearly very successful at your full-time job, but then you're running LUL on the side as the owner and creator, which is insane. You have so many. How many members do you have now?
I think we have over 150 now. Yeah.
Wow. 150 in a year.
Yes.
That's amazing. You know, that's the president of your own organization there too. So that's a lot. But in addition to that, the time management piece, what does that look like? I think I kind of talk on this all the time. Okay. Time management, color coding, Google Calendar, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But something I also feel like I've practiced is either outsourcing or when I'm asking for help, releasing perfectionism. Because, you know, some certain things, like if you want to get your time back. So for example, for me, creating content takes a lot of time, a lot. So I turn brands down a lot. Because they want to just comp me a service, right? They'll be like, hey, like we'd love to have you in for a post. And I'm like, that's really sweet, but this experience for this one pizza is not worth me crafting a post. I will spend 4 hours making this video for you for a pizza. And I was like, I will pay for the pizza. And they're like, well, we really want you to post it. And I was like, sorry. Because I'm like, it's the juice isn't worth the squeeze there. I was like, that's literally 4 hours I can be pouring into 2 podcast episodes or an evening with my husband or going out with my friends. So it's a time thing. And I'm very particular about how I edit content, right? So I'm not ready to outsource that. However, my podcast page, my social media page, I have a girl who does it for me. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I would have done this differently or this graphic is a little bit off here, whatever. But I'm like, you know what? It works. I'm okay with this. Like this is 99% of like what I would have done myself. So she just saved me hours of my time because I outsourced that help. So that's something too, I feel like is really valuable, is releasing that perfectionism and having someone else do it so you can get a little time back and balance both.
I 100% agree. And it's so funny. And I truly understand the effort it takes to run social. And that is why I outsource social. So exactly the reason that you were saying is that it takes time, it takes effort. And I love that you are in control of yours, but I am not like big on social media, right? Like, I don't even know how to make reels. Like, I don't know. I just never, like, I know how to do like my own, you know, basic stories, but I knew that I needed to invest in delegating that and outsourcing that in order to grow the brand. Let me tell you, when I started LUL Social Media, I was investing more in the social media management than what the community, the business was making, okay?
What?
Yes, because I knew it was going to pop off at some point, and I knew it was going to grow to what I envisioned it to be. But at the beginning,
wow,
we started off, I think, with like 20 people doing the challenge, right? So starting off with 20 people, right? I knew I was going to get it to 100, 200, 300 plus, and I knew the vision for that. So I knew that I needed to invest in that social media to build that brand awareness. And that was going to be a huge way for people to find the community. So I understood that it was the initial investment that I had to make in order to get this brand up and going. So I outsourced that from the beginning. And let me tell you, that has been a godsend. Like, I actually don't think I would be continuing LUL if I had not made that decision from the get-go. Because the time and energy it takes to do social media, especially from someone like me who is not really privy to that, that would have been hours and hours and hours of time that I don't have. So again, letting go of that perfectionism, even though I'm absolutely obsessed with our social media. So I love the social media aspect of it. But that was the first thing I was offloading from the get-go. And it ended up, again, think about a lot of the girls have found us through social media, and turn on investment has been 2-3-fold, right? So I am so glad that that was the initial decision I made, because I pretty much run everything else in the back end. So I think really knowing your strengths and leaning into those, and then knowing your weaknesses and maybe being like, okay, maybe this is something that I do delegate, or maybe this is something that I'm okay with not being perfect, right? And I think that has made it possible to really kind of hone in on what, you know, how we perform as a company.
Yeah, I think, you know, just like you were talking about, auditing your time, just like auditing your friendships. I'm very well aware content takes me hours upon hours to do, but I truly enjoy it. I love to do it, but I love to do it on my terms. So that's why I am an absolute savage when people connect with me about wanting to do collaborations, because I'm like, unless this opportunity makes me jump out of my seat, I don't want to do it. And I say no, and people are like, Kelly, you're crazy. And I'm like, it's time at this point.
They always say, if it's not a hell yes, then it's a hell no. If it's not like, oh my gosh, yes, I'm in, then it's no.
Yeah, that's so, so true. I'd love to end on this note, because I just think you're such a boss. You're just recognized by your company. You're absolutely killing it in your day job. And I'm sure that it's very misunderstood that you have a day job on top of running LUL. I'm almost positive you must receive some pushback or some criticism or some negativity. These people they think it's not possible. They think it's just not possible that you're doing both, that you're running this and then running LUL, and then you're married and you have all these like blossoming social life. What do you say to them? Like, how are you doing this? And what is your advice to people who are like, it's just not possible, I can't do it?
Yeah, I think it's all about the why, right? And I think when you're receiving that feedback or judgment or even doubt, right, coming from other people or even from yourself, you have to have a big enough why to allow yourself to do both. Because if LUL was just something that I thought, oh, I was doing for fun and, oh, I want to see how it goes and blah, 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 there'd be absolutely no way I'd be pushing myself to find the time and create the time for it, right? You will prioritize what is important to you. And so you need to find something that is lighting you up and that is going to get you past all the haters, all the doubters, all the people that may be looking at you being like, how do you do both, right? So I think it's truly about aligning with your why and your identity as a person and accepting that, you know what, hell yeah, I'm doing both. Like, this is something that maybe not many people may understand, but if I know that I am being fulfilled and this is my purpose, then that kind of blocks everything out, right? And I think this also does come from a sense of confidence that the support that I've always had growing up and in my family and my closest friends, and I just feel so lucky and grateful to have that support system. And so I can always lean on them too, right? So it's definitely a team effort. Like, again, my husband, there's a whole support system behind me that maybe not as many people see, but it's truly aligning with your why and making sure that you can get shit done while doing both.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. I heard again, I was listening to a podcast. I think it's so funny you're talking about the 10 pages a day and how if you don't read your 10 pages of personal development a day that you're completely off kilter. I had the worst day yesterday, the worst. And in the morning, I listened to music instead of listening to my motivational podcast like I always do. It's a 10-minute podcast on the way to my train ride every day. And I was like, oh, it's okay. You know, I'll listen to music. And I had the worst day ever. And I was going to bed last night. I was like, it's because I didn't listen to my podcast. I was like, what the heck? But all I have to say, set routines for yourself. But this podcast was talking about the difference between really successful people who pursue their biggest dreams. And they're like, it's not discipline. It's not motivation. It's commitment. It's commitment. Like they commit in their heart and their soul. Like there is no other way because they've committed to this idea. And that's how I feel like our brains operate. I just don't even know a world where I don't do both.
100%.
I don't even know what that looks like. I'm like, that's such a sad, dark world. Like I just go to work and I come home. Like what? I'm committed to my passions and to what fuels me. And so I feel like that's you. Like you've committed to doing both and building this community, and you get to see the results physically all the time and feel it in a spiritual way. So I just think that that's amazing. And I'm so proud of you. And I'm just going to continue cheering you on. And someday I'm going to make it to an event because we clearly think
we have the busiest schedules.
Same day events every time.
I know. Like I thought, again, we have the busiest schedule and I love how it's like, oh, let's do this. Oh, wait, no, I bet. Oh, wait, let's do every time. It just doesn't, but it will happen. I know it will. And I appreciate, again, someone like you who is also a badass. Like you are part of the circle that I want to surround myself with. Your energy, your liveliness, your no shame in what you do and your confidence. Hey, like that is something that is truly inspiring. So just know that what you're doing is not only inspiring me, but everybody else that is lucky to have you in their circle, in their network, in their community. And so I feel honored and privileged to be on here. So thank you for taking the time to speak with me today as well.
Of course. I had to have you, and I'm cheering for you, and eventually we'll end up in the same room and I'll eventually make it to one of your events. But I will still be cheering for you no matter what. And I know that you and I are on the same mission, just maybe different lanes right now, but same mission. So keep doing what you're doing. Thanks, Allie.
Thanks, my love.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Misunderstood Podcast. I love hearing from you guys. And I want you to take a screenshot of this episode, tag at misunderstood.podcast on Instagram, and share a takeaway from today's episode. Something you loved, something you wanted more of, whatever it is, it helps me learn what you guys want to hear. Please consider leaving a review on iTunes or Spotify. I want to give a special shout out to my friends at Hatch for producing this episode. If you are looking to launch a podcast, or if you already have one, you can get unlimited podcast editing by visiting usehatch.fm. That's usehatch.fm. Thanks so much, guys. Until next week, this is your Misunderstood Kelly Hall. The views and opinions presented here in this episode are those of myself and do not necessarily represent the views of the DoD or its components. Appearance of or reference to any commercial products or services does not constitute DoD endorsement in those products or services. The appearance of external hyperlinks does not constitute DoD endorsement of the linked websites or of the information, products, or services therein.